In this episode, we talk about the excessive death toll that occurred following the curse of the Lost Lemon Mine. There's gold, there's backstabbing, murder, curses,
axes to the face.
Axes to the face. All sorts of cool and questionable sources tonight's episode. Come check it out. Hello, everybody. My name is Kenton Young, and I'm sitting here with my co-host, Dylan Fairman.
Yo.
And this is Unsolved Canadian Mysteries. So, Dylan, how you been?
Kenton, I have been just fine and dandy and busy as hell.
Yeah, it's, although the summer's winding down, it's still really busy, you know? You think when it gets cooler, it should cool off, you know?
Yeah, no. Nope.
Probably because it's middle of September, but it's still like 30 degrees outside, so people think it's still time of year to do stuff.
I suppose so. I'm mostly busy because I do videos for like a YouTuber who makes a lot of videos. And my sister's wedding was 2 days ago that I filmed. And I have another wedding in 6 days.
Oh, that's nice, man.
Yeah, it's great, Kenton.
Same sister getting married twice?
Or? No, she's not getting married twice.
Okay.
Her second wedding's on Friday. No, a high school friend.
So in our last podcast, we did the Patreon exclusive about the Mad Trapper Rat River.
Yes.
And we got some feedback because now we have quite a few more Patreon subscribers, which is awesome.
Yeah, quite a few. Like, what do you mean quite a few?
We went from 1 to 4.
1 to 4?
In like 2 episodes. Yeah, it's huge.
That's great.
So thank you, everyone. And for those who haven't subscribed, please subscribe to our Patreon.
Yeah, make this 1 to 6. Is that asking too much?
So we got some feedback and people loved it.
Oh, really?
Which is great because I was on the fence about doing that one. I was like, yeah, I'll do it only for the Patreon people. And they're like, awesome, you did this one.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Dope. Yeah, well, I liked it. Mm-hmm. It's just, you're like a hipster for mysteries. You're just I don't like those mainstream mysteries. I want the nitty gritty.
The fringe theories.
The fringe theories. Just like, people are like, oh, Oak Island, blah, blah, blah. You're like, oh, the mystery of the toothpick that had dead people on it. I don't know.
I've actually been thinking we should do the one about the maple syrup heist that happened, I think, in 2010s.
Okay.
It's like there's a big truck full of maple syrup, and they stole the truck. And like, we're talking like thousands of gallons of maple syrup.
Wow.
And it disappeared. So like, I love that mystery. I don't know too much about it yet, though, but.
Well, it's on the docket. That might be a Patreon exclusive. Yeah. That sounds a little too juicy. I was supposed to say greasy, but juicy.
A little too sweet.
A little too sweet.
Yeah. And the one we did last was the Patreon exclusive one about the Mad Trapper River. And then before that was the Mad Trapper of Chesley.
Right.
And we talked about that one in the Patreon exclusive episode. Mm. But for those who didn't hear it, we got some great feedback on that one too.
Awesome.
People love that one. They even tagged the author of the book.
Very cool.
And on the comments, so it was around. People loved it too.
Cool. Anything in specific?
No real comments except like, oh, they're talking about this. Oh, this is so exciting. Go check this out.
I see.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And then we got some emails from people who were just like, hey, go cover this story. Go cover that story too. So.
Oh, thank you. You're doing our job for us.
It makes it easy.
That's great.
I don't have to research other stories. You just send them to me now.
Yeah. You think Kenton will literally call, like Kenton literally calls people. You know, podcasts do research. Research, like some podcasts probably just look at Wikipedia and then do their episode. Like I've done that on past podcasts unrelated to this one about dinosaurs. But Kenton literally calls people and interviews them on the phone and asks them questions where they don't answer.
Like the one from...
The vampires.
Yeah, the vampire one from Wilno, yeah.
So is there vampires there? We don't like to talk about that.
Thank you, that's enough. So this other one is a very popular Canadian story that we actually weren't asked to do, but I thought, hey, why not do this one as well?
Cool.
Have you ever heard of the Lost Lemon Mine?
Lemon Mine.
Lemon.
As in the fruit. Citrus.
No. We were having a discussion before this. Like, is Dylan going to talk about the fruit? No.
So you're talking about the hamsters?
No, no.
All right, well, I'm lost. So it's not lemon, it's not lemming.
No, it's just the guy's last name.
Okay, Canton, continue.
It's lemon with 2 M's. And that actually makes it really hard to like research it because people will, of course, put 1 M. That's how you spell the word lemon.
Yeah.
So if you look up lost lemon, 2 M's mine, you'll get X results. You look up lost lemon, 1 M mine, you get Y results. And it's like, oh, great.
Sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, it was fun. It's fun, man.
Dope.
So, Lemon, Lost Lemon, two M's mine.
Great.
Ever heard of it?
No.
Okay.
Kenton, clearly not.
Okay. Okay.
Since I just asked if it was the fruit.
Okay. Okay.
Is that how we get lemons? No. We dig in the earth. They're deep, deep, deep under deep. Deep dirt lemons.
So this story takes place kind of in Alberta, near Calgary, more in the Rocky Mountains, though. So the story takes place in the spring of 1870.
1870.
Now, it's important to kind of put into context what was going on in 1870, because in the 1830s and 40s, there was what they call the second great smallpox epidemic.
The second. Second to the first.
Yeah. And, in, of course, 1885 was the Northwest Resistance up near Batoche area at Saskatchewan.
Of course.
So... We
As
have
we
this,
all know.
Yes. So we have this period kind of after the epidemic when like 80% of all First Nations people in the prairies have been wiped out and the Northwest Resistance in 85. Okay. So kind of in that period, uncertainty between that time.
Uncertainty.
So in this time period, there was a prospecting group from Tobacco Plains in Montana looking for ore, quartz, gold, anything to mine, really. They were looking mostly for gold. And they were down in Tobacco Plains and decided to go up to the north, Saskatchewan River. Put in context, it's like there's Montana, and then up above it is Alberta, and of course to the side is Saskatchewan. And the North Saskatchewan River, I didn't know this, flows south down into southern Alberta.
Ooh.
So yeah, confusing. And I was like, wait, North Saskatchewan River, they went pretty far when the South Saskatchewan River is like not that far from Montana.
Mm.
But the river flows down closer to Montana, so that's why they went there.
Cool.
So this group, two people in it, one was named Joe Lemon and the other was named Blackjack.
Joe Lemon and Blackjack,
one word. Yeah,
Blackjack.
Yeah, like the card game.
Oh, see, I didn't even pick that up, Kenton. Thank you. Yeah, for explaining.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, you know, the game with
oh yeah, you yeah, well, what do you do? You count the numbers.
I think,
or,
so
yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah,
so 21 I think it is.
Sure, Kenton.
Sure, we'll just go with it.
I don't understand because I'm stupid.
Some sources do put it as two names, Black Jack, but it is, from what I can find, just one word, Black Jack.
Okay.
So Joe Lemon and Black Jack are in this prospecting party, and they go up to the North Saskatchewan River. They're looking around for it, looking for something, right? Anything to mine. They're traveling with the Métis, and they're doing that for protection because the Blackfoot are in the area, and they're pretty hostile to these white men traveling through the area. So the Métis are kind of like their bodyguards. As they're coming down the North Saskatchewan River, they decide to split ways. The Métis group goes one way and they go the other way.
Mm-hmm.
As Joe Lemon and Blackjack are going down the river, they see some placer deposits.
Placer?
Placer deposits. So
what is that?
I had to look this up too. It was a lot of research on this podcast.
Yeah, just for one word, you probably had to like read a book.
What is this? So it's like, let's say there's a river that has some kind of gold on one side of it.
Okay.
And the water is flowing the gold down the river. But the rivers, of course, they bend. They don't go straight. And as they go bend...
This is news to me.
Well, actually, I learned too about rivers. So many things I learned. That like as rivers kind of bend, eventually they will like collapse and become flat again. Straight.
Oh.
And then they'll pull out again and then they'll collapse again.
Oh.
As you know, this is still, this river's bending, the gold is rushing up onto the shore because it doesn't make the bend, it just kind of deposits on the shore.
Right.
Placer deposit. So as they're coming along the river, they see, oh look, there's a bunch of gold kind of here along the embankment, which means it came from upriver.
Mm.
So great, we know that somewhere up there is gold.
How many lost people has just been because of finding gold? Oh, I swear to God.
Yes.
Like death. Gold has caused so much death in all and so many different,
yes,
facets.
I've been thinking, this isn't the first time we talked about gold on the podcast.
No. And it won't be the last.
We had Oak Island, which had gold, I'm sure.
I believe there was, gold was the headless people that had gold
in the Haenie National Park. I think gold was involved there. Yeah. There's more. I'm sure there was more.
Yeah, probably the monster Cabbage Town. He probably had gold teeth.
That's probably what he was all about, yeah?
Yeah.
Like, it's probably Smeagol from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. my precious cat that I've murdered. Anyway.
Go check out that one if you haven't
seen it. Yeah, Cabbage Town.
It's a good one, too.
I asked people about Cabbage Town. They didn't know what I was talking about.
These fringe theory podcasts I pulled out of the woodwork, yeah. There's two kind of stories here, what happened next. One is that they found the gold just like on the edge of the river and the water was rushing past it. Another one was Joe Lemon found the placer deposits and then told Blackjack to go find the gold. And then he found like a big area of quartz and gold and ore.
Right.
Kind of more in the woods.
Or instead of Blackjack, jackpot.
Yep.
I could have said that better. but I'm sticking with it.
So there's two kind of stories here, but both of them are like, okay, they found the gold. They began mining it, and they realized there's so much here they didn't have enough stuff to carry back with, so they set up camp for the night and just began to discuss what to do.
Yeah.
During the night, as they were discussing it, their regular discussion turned into an argument.
Mm.
Of course, there's two stories of what happened, right? It's always versions of this. It's right. An old story. The most common story is that to try and settle nerves, the two of them just went to bed. Blackjack fell asleep. Joe Lemon did not.
Mm.
Instead, Joe gets up, gets an axe, and
hits the gold.
Yeah, hits Blackjack's head.
With what?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, Blackjack is dead.
Mm.
And Joe Lemon is shocked. He's like, oh my god, I did not just kill my buddy, right?
You did.
He did. Later, another version kind of comes out what happens. As the two of them coming down the river to find the gold or find the mine, they're being trailed by some, at the time, they were called Stony Indians, but now they're called Nakota.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to call them that.
Nakota?
Nakota. So the Nakota are following these men, trying to figure out what they're doing. They're just two, I think, young men following these two prospectors. Okay, and they kind of watch them set up camp and see them mining the gold and the ore and thinking, what are these white guys doing, right?
Yeah.
And then they're watching them at night and they see Joe Lemon kill Blackjack. They're like, oh, something's
Damn.
Going on. Yeah, something's going on, right?
White man's crazy.
Yeah, right? So they decide, according to the story, to play a little bit of a prank. So as Joe...
Of course, yeah. If I watch murder... That's exactly the kind of mood I'm in. Let's play a prank.
Yeah, let's not leave, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. As Joe Lemon's like freaking out because he killed Blackjack, the Nakota up in the hills are kind of watching. They start howling and making scary, haunting sounds. And Joe Lemon thinks it's coming from Blackjack.
Mm.
That there's like a curse or something.
Yeah.
And that Blackjack, although he has a wound in his head, right, because he got an axe to his head,
right,
he's going to haunt him, right? And he stays up all night. He builds a big fire where he stays up all night with his gun and watches this body. And the moment daybreak comes, he gets out of there with the gold, right, of course. But he leaves behind the horses, some guns, clothing, everything. He just takes the gold and runs.
Blackjack, they leave him behind.
He left him behind too. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. After Joe Lemon takes off, the two Nakota men come down. They see the body, and they take everything else, and they leave the body, and they go and meet up with Chief Bearpaw.
Bearpaw,
and they tell them what happened. And Chief Bearpaw says, because they've seen enough gold rushes that I think this would be prior to the Yukon, the Klondike gold rush.
Yeah.
But they've seen enough gold rushes to know that if the white men find out there's gold here,
right,
they're going to come in hordes and completely destroy their culture. Because that's what happened in the Klondike.
Right.
They said they were like mosquitoes coming over the mountains into the Klondike. So they're like, we don't want anyone knowing about this. So don't tell anybody that you found this. We'll keep it quiet. But keep an eye out for any more white people coming around here.
Crazy.
Joe Lemon carries back down to Montana with a sack full of gold, and he gets to I don't know where. According to some reports, he went to the nearest town, but there's no towns out there really, so he went quite a ways to take this gold somewhere where he could exchange it for cash.
Yeah.
So he sold all this gold and ore and quartz for $27,000 at the time, which I did kind of do the math, and it's like $700,000 today.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, it's like $750,000. You know, he comes in with a big bag of stones, leaves almost as a millionaire.
Yeah.
People are interested, right?
Yeah.
So Joe Lemon then goes, after he gets all his cash, he goes to talk to a priest and tells the priest what happened, right? About Blackjack, about the gold, and how he killed his buddy up there. Because the priest can't, you know, tell the police. Right?
Even if it's murder?
Apparently not.
I think, well.
I think it's, it might have changed too, right? Since then.
I would assume.
But I think it's if someone is in danger, they can tell.
Oh.
But if the crime's already committed, and if, especially if it's like, you know, 400 kilometers away in the mountains, like, it's hard to prove that, I guess. I don't know. But the priest doesn't tell the authorities. Instead, the priest tells a man named John McDougal. And he says, hey, John, there was an incident up in the mountains. Here are the directions to get to it. Can you go there and bury the body? I can't imagine getting that kind of request now, like, right?
Yeah, especially from a priest.
Yeah, right? But John McDougal says, yeah, sure, okay. So he follows the directions given to him by the priest, who I assume got them from Joe Lemon.
Yeah.
He gets up there, and he finds the body, and he builds, like, a stone cairn around it, over top of it, right?
Mm.
Just to kind of give him a final resting place. So then he leaves. But the Nakota were waiting for someone to show up, right? And they see this white man come up here, and he sees the body. He knew exactly where it was, where he was going, right? And build this thing for him. And they think he's going to go back and tell everyone where this is and the cairn, and the cairn isn't too far from the gold. So once John McDougal leaves the area, the Nakota come down, they destroy the cairn.
Mm.
Completely obliterate any kind of traces that anything was here. So back in Montana, Joe Lemon is almost a millionaire, very popular, and he gets together a second group of people to go up to the mine.
Greedy mother.
Yeah.
Oof, we should have got out. You were out.
So the group of them starts going up, and as the days go by, I don't know exactly how long until it starts happening. The sources were kind of vague on this. But as they're going, Joe Lemon starts acting a little more strange, a little bizarre.
Yeah.
A little paranoid.
Yeah.
The thought I think here is that if he's going up there, he escaped this spirit, right? The blackjack that he killed.
Right.
That was moaning at the fire, right?
Yeah.
And now he's going back into this.
Right? Yeah.
Unknown to him that John McDougal has gone and buried the body and everything. He's thinking, I'm going back to the area. Not only that there's a ghost there, but also, wait, the guy I killed is still there too. So like, I'm literally walking into my own crime scene.
Yeah.
With a whole bunch of witnesses.
Yeah.
So as they're going, he starts getting more and more paranoid, and eventually he confesses to the group.
What an idiot. Like,
he says, hey, you know, we can't go because I killed Blackjack and his body's up there. And he starts saying these random things, scary things like those voices and moaning and ghosts, right? Eventually, the group tried to like, hey, it's okay, man. Like, don't worry about it. But then he turns violent. Like, okay, fine. We're going to go back to Montana. So they turn around and they get back to Montana. And Joe Lemon gets arrested, charged with murder, and he's sentenced to hang. But he dies from smallpox before he can hang.
Okay.
Because, again, the smallpox is running through the area.
Spreading.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
So the group then, they know that there's a mine out there with a lot of gold.
Oh, God.
So they decide instead to talk to the only other person who knows where this is or close to it. That's John McDougal. They contacted John McDougal and they asked him to come back to the camp, and they'll go together to the mine. He's the only person who knows, of course, where the mine is located.
Mm-hmm.
On his way there, because John McDougal lives in a different area. I'm not sure exactly where John McDougal was, but he's on his way there and he stops by that night in a place called Fort Kip. I don't know how far away Fort Kip is from where he was going to meet up with the group, but it was a ways.
Yeah.
So he stopped there for the night and he went to the bar. And as he's drinking, I don't know why, he just keeps drinking.
Yeah.
And he ends up dying.
Drinking himself to death.
Yeah. That's right.
Wow.
So now we've had three people die trying to get to this mine.
This is a curse.
Yeah, they say the mine is cursed. Yeah.
Yeah.
John McDougal never shows up, right? Because he's dead. And this party's like, fine, we'll just go ourselves. Okay. So they head up into the mountains to try and find this mine. And it's been now, I'd say maybe a year, 2 years, right? Between going up there and coming back and then getting John McDougal. And time has passed.
Right.
So they get up to the approximate area where after Blackjack and Joe Lemon split from the Métis and they went on the way on the river, they get to the approximate area where this happened, and they found out that sometime between when they were through and when they got here, there was a forest fire, and the trees burned, and any paths are gone.
Right.
So they cannot find the mine. A few years have passed now, and it's 1916.
Okay.
So 40, 50 years since 1870s, when the Lost Lemon Mine was officially lost.
This is like World War One here.
Yeah, 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 right in the middle of it, because World War One was 14 to 18. Yeah.
Okay.
So right in the middle of the war. So during this time, indigenous man, I believe he was Nakota, was traveling through the area where the mine was supposedly located, and he finds some gold. And he finds it, and he's like, oh my gosh, this is a big chunk of gold. I'm going to go to Calgary and get this appraised. Takes it to Calgary and takes it to some appraisers. And they say, this is some high quality gold you found here. Where did you find it? So they go out with him back to the site and they find more silver and ore and gold. They decide to set up a mining operation.
Cool.
And this sparked a renewed interest in the famous Lost Lemon Mine story. Because it's kind of the right location, it's the right kind of stuff. It was supposed to be a whole bunch of gold here, and this is kind of what they found. This was just a legend for the longest time, and now finally it's might be true.
Truer than they believe.
Yeah, yeah, right? It went from a legend to possibly fact.
Right.
But back in 1870, Joe Lemon and Blackjack, they were financed by a man named Lafayette French. The idea was that French would kind of fund their prospecting until they found something of value, and then he would get like a percentage of the...
Right.
Reward. It's been about 40 years now. French has only heard stories about this. He lost both of his prospectors to this, right? And finally, this news breaks out in 1916 that this mine has been found.
Right.
So French goes to Montana, assembles some people, and goes back up to Canada to try and find this mine. So he's going around. It says he spends, I think it was two summers and a fall up there, wandering the mountains, trying to talk to people, trying to figure out where this mine could be, right? Lafayette French, trying to figure out where this mine might be, talking to people up in the mountains for two summers, two falls, for a little while. He comes across a man named William Bendow.
William.
Now, he's only heard stories about William Bendo, but the stories is that William knows exactly where this is.
Mm.
And the reason is because William is a Nakota native.
Is he the one that played the prank?
Yes, he is. All these years later.
Wow.
The one who promised Chief Bearpaw he wouldn't say where the gold mine was.
Wow. Now, Chief Bearpaw has started his business in banana bread.
I think he might have died, and his son is in charge now.
Okay.
Sorry. But banana bread is a good industry to get into.
Yeah.
Yeah. So French talks to Bendel and convinces him, hey, why don't you show me where the mine was? And Bendel's kind of on the fence about it, but finally he kind of caves and says, yeah, sure, I'll show you. They're preparing to go. And the next day, the next morning, I think it is, Bendel goes to French and says, I'm sorry, I can't. He's having a lot of trouble with this. He made the promise to Chief Bearpaw all those years ago. And I won't tell you where it is. So they call off the prospecting party and they have some talks, right?
Wow.
Over time, eventually French is able to convince Bendel,
yeah,
why don't we try this again? You know, it's been a while. It's not going to be like it was in the Klondike, right? This is now as a civilized operation. We're not going to push you guys out like they did back in the 1880s, right? This is more
working together.
Yeah, a cooperation thing. So Bendel says, okay. He agrees. So the night before they leave, Bendel dies.
Damn.
Mysteriously.
Mysteriously. Wow.
They take Bendel's body to his reservation for burial.
Right.
And because he's died, the family comes in, and the same day that Bendel's body comes to reservation, Bendel's son-in-law dies as well under mysterious circumstances. Suddenly, this curse that everyone talked about way back in the day has come back, right? The curse of the lost lemon mine.
Yeah.
No one is going to help French find this mine now.
Damn.
Any Nakota who might have an idea, like, nope, we're not touching it. We're not coming close to you. You're on your own.
Yeah.
So French goes out there by himself to look for this mine. Eventually he finds it.
Boom.
He has a cabin set up. He has some of the gold. He wrote a letter to his buddy Dan Riley, who would go on to be Senator Dan Riley, who would go on to kind of tell this story. And he would talk about where he found the gold, where it's all located, the gold and other quartz and that kind of thing. He'd give specific directions to everything. It's great. Folds the envelope, puts it on his desk, goes, great, I can't wait to head back and deliver this. And that night, he decides to light up a pipe and have a smoke and relax. The sparks from his pipe catch on a pile of clothes on the ground, and his cabin catches on fire.
And he?
Escapes.
Oh.
So he escapes in his underwear.
Humiliated, though.
Cold. And apparently he runs for 3.5, I think it's miles, because the article is kind of old I was reading, so it's probably been miles. He runs for 3.5 miles. To a farm, an acreage kind of thing. And he finds like a barn. He goes in the barn and collapses on some hay. The next morning, some of the farmhands come out and they find this almost naked man,
yeah,
who's covered in dirt and ash and sweat and everything in their hay and has hypothermia. Oh. He's not doing too good.
Oh, no.
So they rush him to a hospital and he lasts 2 days and he dies.
Wow.
Yeah.
The death toll.
Yeah, right.
Is getting up there.
You definitely foreshadowed it when you said earlier people just keep dying.
Yeah.
I'm like, yep. Yeah, it's going to happen. So since that happened in 1916, the letter he was writing was to Dan Riley. And I don't believe Dan Riley ever got the letter. I think it was lost in the fire in the cabin. But he was aware that the letter was going to go to him with the directions. So Dan Riley, because he was a politician, he would never get involved in the prospecting of the mine. But he kind of kept the story alive.
Mm.
As he got out of politics and got older, he would share the story and talk about Lafayette French and their relationship and the mine and all that stuff. The story didn't really die. Okay, it's carried on through the ages because of Dan Riley. So a lot of people have gone out into this area to try and find this gold.
Right.
And there's been a lot of stories of what happened to these people. Some of them, of course, have gone into the mountains and disappeared. Sometimes there's stories of people, they will find a white man's skeleton on some rocks holding a bag of gold. Right. I don't know the difference between...
Why would he be holding a bag of gold, though? You know,
this clenched around a bag of gold.
Yeah, exactly. Why, though? Because it's not like what's-his-face would have killed him and then put his hand, like, you know, like... It, okay.
Yeah, okay. And also, I don't think a hand of bones could, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, they'd fall apart. There's also another story of two men who were badly injured coming into a farmhouse asking for... shall they spend the night, and with them were bags of gold, and they said they were going to go, I think it was to a fort nearby. The next day they needed a place to rest, and they left the next day, next morning, early in the morning, and they never got to the destination. The thought is that the Nakota were hunting them so that gold would never leave the area. A lot of stories. Okay. 1931, a couple of Nakota men find some more gold in the area, and they bring it to, and his name is now King Bearpaw, which is Chief Bearpaw's son or grandson, this sparks talk of the mine again, right? After now it's been a few years since what happened with Lafayette French. And King Bearpaw is familiar with the story of the mine and the curse. And although they found the gold, he is interviewed by the press. And he says, no white man will find this mine. He admits there's a mine, right? And if there's a gold, but that no white man will find it.
A
couple decades later, 1989.
Wow.
Ron Stewart and Bob Canton find some volcanic rock along the highway. I think this must be where the mine is, because volcanic rock is kind of related to quartz and ore. Gold is different. Gold is kind of, there's no natural way for gold to form on the planet. It's all from the stars.
Right.
So it's not like silver or quartz. It comes from above. So you can find volcanic rock and not find gold, but they know that there's supposed to be volcanic rock, quartz, and gold, according to the story.
Right.
So they find the volcanic rock and say, oh, this might be the proximate area. I guess they found maybe some gold too. But they estimated that if this is what they found, there's a good chance there's about $7 billion worth of gold and ore in this area.
Right.
How they came to that conclusion, I've read a few podcasts and papers. Everyone's like, where'd that number come from?
Right.
Just pulled that out of nowhere. But
yeah.
So they then began to get prospecting papers and we're going to set up a mine and began prospecting the area in 89. And a lot of people say that this was the mine. That Stewart and Canton found the mine 89 and the story's over. Some say that. A little while later, 2005, of course, a big event occurs in this part of Alberta where they have massive flooding. What happens is some of the rivers, we talked earlier, they kind of expand and
right.
expand narrow. They changed. The rivers changed. And what they realized was as they were exploring the area and talking to the people who live there and the Nakota people, is that this one area of the forest was dammed in 1915. It was near some springs. So as it was down, the spring water would feed a different direction and change the flow of the river. But when all this rain came in 2005, this man-made dam of rocks and whatever floated away and the original river returned.
Right.
So the thought is when Joe Lemon and Blackjack were looking, they're looking at the first river. In 1915, when they dammed it, a second different river was formed and everyone was looking at that river.
But that's not where the mine is.
Yeah, they're all looking at the wrong spot.
Mm.
So in 2005, if you can look online, they have all these documents and PDFs and maps and arrows, and they think they located the mine, but they're pretty sure that in 1910, 1915, it was deliberately flooded by the Nakota to hide it
right.
from airplanes, thinking, you know, people, prospectors are going to come over looking in airplanes, and they'll see this big chunk of land of ore, of volcanic rock and of gold, and they'll know exactly where it is. So we'll flood the area and they can't find it.
Okay.
The only issue with that story is that they flooded it between 1910 and 1915, is that Lafayette French came up in 1916 and apparently found the mine then.
According to him.
Yeah, right. And that's around the time that he died, right?
But did he even find any gold?
Well, that he claims. Right. I guess they claim he did, right? And I guess but they found some tools of his.
Right.
But, you know, you read a letter. I don't know if the letter was ever delivered, right? So you could have just, I don't know if the letter even existed because if it was destroyed, right?
Or what if he's just full of shit?
Yeah. You know, he did spend 50 years of his life on this mine. Yeah. So yes, I found it.
Yeah,
prove me wrong.
Yeah, whatever. I'm tired of people making fun of me for the past how many years of spending all this. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's totally possible.
2005, they made a big report, says, we think this is where the mine is, and I could find nothing since. To my knowledge, that report kind of died. I was looking at it, and it did seem kind of like a really professionally done report. Like, they had an area of the map circled with a label called Area 51.
Yeah.
And, like, stuff like that. Like, it wasn't actual names of areas.
Right.
Like, obviously, they went there, took photos, and measured things, and did that, but it just didn't seem like a university level or a corporation level expedition.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much weight I put onto that. So a lot of people put their weight on the 1989 mine that was found instead.
Right.
But some people have also said that the area just couldn't produce that quantity of ore and quartz that was reported. Gold also isn't that big in that area. So they think it's just a story because in the 1870s, and this is what got me hung up researching this, there were a lot of stories of lemon mines, same name, in the States. Of lost lemon mines, but in the stateside. So what's the chances of a same named mine gone missing around right. the same time period on the other side of the border.
I wonder where the term "you got a lemon" comes from. You know what I mean? You've yeah. heard that term?
Yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
like if you're like you're driving a car and it like constantly. If you have a car like Kenton, Kenton drives a lemon.
It's been good lately. Yeah,
it's been good lately. But is that where that term comes from? I wonder.
It's like a failure kind of thing.
Yeah, like a easily failure. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the 1 out of 10 cars is a lemon kind of thing.
Yeah, it could be. It's a mine that might work.
Yeah,
but it's gone missing.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm just wondering if that's where that comes from. Anyway.
So I'm thinking, because of this name similarity between the Lost Lemon 2M's mine in Alberta and the Lost Lemon mines in the States,
yeah,
it's just the same story.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, Black Jack is gone, Joe Lemon died from smallpox, Lafayette French is a real person, but he could have just made up a story.
Yeah.
There's no evidence that I know there's ever a letter made. And to find prospecting equipment in an area where they're prospecting for 50 years, that's going to happen, right? So
yeah.
you can't say that's Lafayette stuff. The only person who can really say the story is true is Dan Riley. And again, he either received a letter or didn't, but heard the story and added to it. I don't think it's true. What do you think?
What do I think? I think it is extremely easy for a story to perpetuate over 50 plus years, especially with how easy it is for people to die back then.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's say just what's his face? He killed the guy up there out of greed. Maybe he killed the guy up there. And then the people of the town, they didn't hear any of the story, really. They just see that this guy was going to get hanged for murdering this guy mm-hmm. for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then he died of smallpox. And then everyone filled in the blanks themselves.
It's yeah. like,
well, Gary said it was actually because they found gold up there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stuff like that. Then you have the Nakota. Maybe they have their stories as well that they like they meet up with these guys that are saying this one story. I was like, well, this is actually what happened
mm-hmm.
with the story. And then it just keeps on going. And then more people die in this area.
Yeah.
And this person was like, I wonder if it's because of that lemon curse.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, that's probably why they went missing. It just keeps on building on each
yeah.
other.
Yeah.
And then a failed prospector doesn't want to embarrass himself anymore. So he says he found it. And then just while he's trying to look for it, freak accident. Everything's flammable back then.
Yeah.
So easy for that to start on fire. And then he ends up dying. Like, you never, other than that one story in Russia where all those like hikers mm-hmm. died and stuff, you never really see these stories happening modernly where there's a high death toll.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's always back when it was very easy to die.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you just had snowshoes and a bear pelt.
Yeah.
And then bears.
Yeah.
How many of those people died from bears? Yeah. I guarantee at least one.
Oh, yeah. No, totally. Yeah.
That's what I think. I think it's just a series of like prospectors telling stories or townspeople telling stories.
I could see it. Imagine, you know, two prospectors go out.
Yeah.
One prospector comes back.
Yeah.
What happened to the other one?
Right.
And did they find something?
Right.
And especially if you come back with any kind of, it doesn't have to be $27,000 yeah. worth. That'll snowball. If it comes back with a couple hundred
yeah.
dollars worth, like, oh, did you hear Joe Lemon found $400? Oh, he found $500. Oh, he found $1,000.
Yeah.
$10,000, $20,000. Like, it's going
to
add up.
Especially if he just, like, goes to jail and then, like,
dies.
Yeah, yeah. dies. You're just like, whoa, well, he probably found $27,000.
And there was John McDougall, yeah. right? Of course, who the priest told him what happened.
Right.
So he would have been a witness to be like, oh yeah, well this body was up there, I buried it, but he never got to tell anybody because right. he died. So that would add to the story too.
Right.
I think the only person, there's Dan Riley and then there's King Bearpaw, and he said they won't find it. It could also just be saying like they won't find it because it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Right.
The other possibility is that the Nakota have this long ancient mission of keeping this out of the hands of white man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that's like, if you're looking at the possibilities, what's the most likely?
That it's a story.
Right.
It's just a story. Because there's right. stories in the States of the lemon mine, stories in the Canada lemon mine.
Right.
Yeah. I think we solved this one, man.
I think we did.
I don't think there's any mine out there. Oak Island one, there's a mine. This one, no mine. And no curse.
And no curse.
That's what I'm going with.
Okay, cool. I'm down.
Do you like this one?
I liked it. It was decent.
Yeah, it was a nice, like, compared to some of the ones that we've had that are more, you know, person versus person.
Yeah.
Like, we had Matt Trapper, we had the guy in Chesley. It's like, yeah. this is like, they're looking for something.
Multiple mysteries, too, because mm-hmm. everyone died mysteriously.
Yeah. right? Yeah. This one, sad, a lot of people are dying, but yeah. It's not the same level of tragedy when you have people being shot by mad trappers, right?
Very Final Destination, like.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Anything that happens twice and suddenly now it's a curse.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Once it's a tragedy, twice it's a curse.
Right.
Yeah.
And then anything close to being like, oh, Jerry from BC, he died too. I bet it was because of that curse.
Right. Like, so we had a William Bendo come into his reservation after right. dying, and then his son-in-law dies.
Right.
And it's like, oh, it's the curse. Like, no, it's just people can just die.
Right.
The timing was unfortunate, but it just people can just die.
Right.
So yes, I think you're right. I think it's just stories and legends, no truth. Well, thank you for joining me tonight and talk about this really cool story, Dylan.
It was grand.
We had some good jokes, good times, some good...
I don't know about good jokes, but yeah.
Good jokes. I like them.
Yeah.
And thank you too, listeners, for listening to another episode of Unsolved Canadian Mysteries. As always, my name is Kenton DeYoung, and I'm sitting here with my co-host, Dylan Fairman. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.